The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Now, today we're going to talk about endocrine disruptors. So what are endocrine disruptors? They're hormone-altering chemicals. We're going to talk about some specific ones, where to find them, what they do to you, and more importantly, how to avoid them. So again, hormone. It's so oftentimes when our hormones are askew that we don't realize that there could be multiple reasons why. So our goal is to figure out, hey, how do you, if you guys, okay, listen, right? Homeostasis, right? So when we talk about homeostasis, I'll find you like a real definition. Homeostasis, the tendency, relatively stable equilibrium between interdependent elements, especially maintained by a physiological process. It's way more boring of an answer or of a definition than I thought it was going to be. So homeostasis, right? Homeostasis is the body's, like, it's an equilibrium, right? Between all elements that are dependent on each other, right? Especially with a physiological process. So examples of homeostasis would be maintenance of body temperature, right? Maintenance of glucose levels, maintenance of breathing patterns, removal of toxins or waste, right? So you go outside and it's 110 degrees outside. So your body's like, well, oh my goodness, right? Like, we have to change some things. So we need to make sure that the body is functioning properly. We need to make sure blood flow changes, right? Like, all of these things. So the process of homeostasis is really focused on the body's ability to maintain and regulate certain factors. And so the same thing happens when we're talking about homeostasis is our bodies. Here's my example, right? Okay, here's my example. I was trying to think of a good example. I have it now. So imagine you have like a baseline, right? In every morning you get up and you have a coffee, right? And coffee is a stimulant, caffeine, right? Let's just say caffeine, coffee, energy drink, soda, whatever. And so that caffeine stimulates you. So it spikes. So you're massively stimulated and the body says, well, that's not homeostasis, right? We're way above that baseline in terms. So your body brings it back down. And then what happens is the next morning you say, hey, I'd like some coffee. So it comes up, right? Like this top of the mountain. We shoot up there and the body says, whoa, this is way above homeostasis. So it forces it to bring it back down. So we go through that process every morning, right? We get up, we drink coffee. We get up, we drink coffee. We wake up, we're caffeine, we're stimulated. We wake up, we're stimulated. And what happens is our body, which is really, really smart, don't ever discredit innate intelligence and how smart our body is. So it says, hey, instead of baseline, I'm going to drop you down. So now you're below that line because it knows, you know what you're going to probably give me? Some caffeine of some sort. And so it brings you up to that baseline. So you know how after a while you drink caffeine or coffee for long enough, you get up and your body thinks, I need this. I need this to function. I need this to be normal. And so what it does is it says, I'm going to drop you down. So then when you stimulate me, now you're just functioning at homeostasis. You're not above. You're not overstimulated, right? That's why if you ever cut out caffeine for 2 weeks, and you have that one cup of coffee, that little bit is like, whoa, oh my goodness, right? Like, because it brings you back up on that top of the mountain again, right? Or you have to bring it back down. So all this one, like our body's working on homeostasis. And unfortunately, I think because it's often in out of sight, out of mind, when we look at things like endocrine disruptors, we have all of these out of balance hormones that are happening. But we're just trying to figure out like, how do we change that? And we don't know how. And so that's my ultimate goal, is to figure out how do we make steps along the way? How do you address the small little things so that they become bigger? So we say, hey, we've taken out a lot of those hormone disruptors. So guess what happens to your hormones? They level out and they balance. So two things. One, if you're not imbalanced in terms of hormones, let's make sure you're not adding in these chemicals until we get to that point. And then the secondary component is, okay, if we are at that point where hormones are out of balance and unregulated, then our goal inevitably then is to figure out how do we back that down so that we can more adequately figure out how to be sustainable. How do we like rebalance? And that's the great part about the body, is that it's always functioning and it's always healing. And so our ultimate goal is to figure out like, how do we continue to keep having that ability? So before we get into some of those specific chemicals in terms of hormone disruptors, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne, health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, today we are talking about beware of food labels if you have food allergies. The FDA again relaxes rules due to COVID-19. Now, you might think, well, we're out of this, right? We're out of this. It doesn't apply to us anymore. We're on the back end of things, right? That's what you'd think. But let's talk. So most people, right, because this oddly enough doesn't make mainstream media weird. For the fifth time since all of this had started, coronavirus pandemic, the U.S. FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has relaxed regulations on food labeling and packaging requirements for manufacturers and vending machine operators. But this time, the updated guidance raises serious concerns for 32 million Americans with food allergies. The FDA recently unveiled that a quote-unquote temporary flexibility policy to ease worries over product availability due to shifting consumer demands and disruptions in the international supply chains. The devil's in the detail, David Bloom, chief executive of Snack Safely, a food allergy organization, wrote in a blog, according to the Washington Post. The guidance goes on to introduce numerous loopholes that are of concern to members of the food allergy community. The new policy allows manufacturers to swap ingredients in foods without updating the printed ingredient list on the packaging, the FDA says in its statement. Let me reread this for you. The new policy allows manufacturers to swap ingredients in foods without updating printed ingredient lists on the packaging. For example, canola oil can be used as a substitute for sunflower oil because they contain similar types of fat. Right? Not the same type of oil, though. Without a label change, an unbleached flour can be replaced by bleach flour due to current shortages of bleaching agents. The substitution can only be made under certain conditions. The ingredients being omitted or substituted cannot affect nutrient content or health claims on the label. Cannot be a quote-unquote characterizing ingredient such as raisins and raisin bread, and cannot cause adverse health effects, including allergic reactions. But food allergy advocates say that's not enough to keep people safe because some exposure to unknown ingredients could lead to harmful consequences such as anaphylaxis, right? We understood that COVID-19 has obstacles for food manufacturing too, though unanticipated shortages and supply chain disruptions to ensure products are available. Food allergy communities rely on transparency, and it's our hopes that we can work together with the FDA to find a solution that benefits everyone and ensures the safety of food supply for those who depend on it knowing exactly what's in their food. So they basically said, hey, you know, a lot of things are changing with this whole thing, so no big deal. All you need to know is that you can swap out foods, right? Bleached flour, unbleached, you can have, right? Because I choose to not have bleached flour, right? Oddly enough, I choose not to consume products that have been previously bleached. Yeah, I don't want to eat it. So it can say unbleached flour. I don't want to give that to my, I don't want to give bleached flour to my children. And you know what they say? It's not really important for you to know because, like, you know, it's just hard times. So I'm like, okay. You know, hey, canola oil, which is made from rapeseed, highly genetically modified. It's basically the same as sunflower. So, yeah, we don't need to tell you. It's not a big deal. You know, times are rough. So I started digging a little bit deeper to figure out, okay, so when does this end? You say this is a temporary food order, but like, so how temporary is this, right? You want to provide food manufacturers temporary relief and limited, like, inflexibility in food labeling. So what you're saying is I, as a consumer, don't deserve to know what's in my food. I can look at the label. It doesn't matter. It's not what's really in there. So I went on the FDA website and they talk about a temporary policy regarding certain food labelings during the pandemic, minor formulation changes and vending machines. So they basically said vending machines used to say, like, hey, you have to have a certain nutrient density you put in here. And they're like, you just stuff it in with whatever. But it said, it basically, there's no time on it. So they say, yeah. So for whatever time we consider is just necessary, temporary. Because I'm like, is this 90 days? Is it 120 days? Is it, like, what is it? Like, I would like to know when I can go back to trusting or trusting more. Like, it's, do you really trust anymore? The policy is intended to remain in effect only during the duration of the public health emergency related to COVID-19 declared by the Department of Human Health Services, including any renewals. However, we recognize that the food and agricultural sector may need additional time to bring its supply chain back to regular order. Therefore, upon termination of the public health emergency, FDA intends to consider and publicly communicate regarding whether an extension in whole or in part is warranted based on comments received to this guidance and experience with its implementation. So it's like, yep, it's just for the duration of the public health emergency, but also if there's any renewals, and also we can kind of reevaluate to see, like, if we're really going to say in total you need to go back to putting what's on the food labels really in there, or is it one that you say, you know, maybe part of it, you only have to tell the truth on part of the food label. Like, is that not appalling to anyone else? It is absolutely absurd to me that you can say, hey, this is temporary for an undisclosed amount of time until whenever we feel like it. And then when it's not this emergency, right, then what does it look like? And they're like, oh, whatever we kind of feel like, you know, no big deal. You don't really need to know what's in your food. It's like the same anyways for the most part. Bleached, unbleached, canola, sunflower, it's the same. You don't need to know the difference. Like, how, you know, the best I can do is I'm going to keep buying food without labels. And I'm going to know where my food comes from. It's the best I can do. Because this, you know, when you say, like, hi, you know, one of my kids had severe eczema when he was born to the point where he bled. So, yeah, we stay away from gluten. And they're like, yeah, you know what I mean, for the most part. We say, but yeah, I mean, that's like a pretty good one. Hey, there's different food allergies that he has. And this is like, just give or take. We'll just swap it out. You don't need to know. You should, if you're not infuriated, you should be. Because basically what this government agency is telling you is that you don't deserve to know what's in your food. That's appalling. Anyways, so when we come back, let's talk about some endocrine disruptors and how to avoid them.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam consultation, just $25. Now, let's talk about hormone disruptors. So your endocrine system is your hormone system. Disruptors alter them, right? So endocrine disruptors are hormone altering chemicals. I feel like when we talk about this in a world, it is a good, better, best scenario, right? Because I would love to say that, you know, we're never exposed to any sort of chemicals. It's just not true, right? Like, it's not true. We do our best, and that's what we can do. And to say, like, I'm never going to, like, I will always be exposed to chemicals means I'm never going to be cognizant about what I'm exposed to is a poor line of thinking, too. I feel like when we can make those little changes, it does lessen our exposure. And, you know, when you lessen that exposure, it lessens the altering chemicals and it lessens the impact that it has on your body. So, and here's the crazy part is that there's no real end to the tricks that endocrine disruptors can play on our bodies, whether it be from increasing production of certain hormones, whether it be decreasing productions of certain hormones, imitating other hormones, turning one hormone into another, interfering with hormone signaling, telling cells to die prematurely, competing with essential nutrients, binding to essential hormones, accumulating in organs that produce hormones, right? Like, all of these chemicals that we're looking at have a huge impact on the body. So first one I'm going to talk about is dioxin. I feel like this is not one we've talked about often, so it's one that I wanted to hit right off the bat. There's going to be a lot of them. Some of them you might have heard about. Most of them may be a little bit new to you if you've not heard about these hormone disruptors. So dioxins are, they're formed during industrial processes when chlorine or bromine are burned in the presence of carbon and oxygen. Sounds kind of boring, but basically when we talk about dioxins, they're highly, highly, highly poisonous chemicals that are virtually everywhere in the environment. So the burning process, such as commercial or municipal waste incineration, burning waste, backyard burning, the use of fuels, wood, coal, oils, all produce dioxins. The compounds then collect in high concentrations in the soil and sediments. So plants, water, and air all contain low levels of dioxin. When dioxins enter the food chain, they're actually stored in animal fats, right? So most of our consumption that we get from dioxins actually comes from our consumption of food. 90% of human exposure to dioxins actually comes through food, mainly animal products such as dairies, meat, fish, and shellfish. This is where that kind of knowing your source of food, knowing organic, sustainable, really becomes important. Once it's consumed, dioxins stay in the body for a very long time. It's a stable chemical, which means they don't really break down much. And once in the body, it can take anywhere from 7 to 11 years for the radioactivity of the dioxin to fall to half of its original level. So its half-life is 7 to 11 years, which is crazy. When you look at in terms of what dioxins do to the body, so dioxins can disrupt the ways that the both male and female sex hormone signal in the body occurred. So here's why that's a really bad thing, is because recent research has shown that exposure to very low levels of dioxin in the womb and early in life can both permanently affect sperm quality and lower the sperm count in men during their prime reproductive years. Because they're so long-lived, it builds up in the body and it's in the food chain. So it also can affect immune system and reproductive systems. One of the things that you can do is by knowing your animal products. What was really interesting too, is that when I was getting a bit more into the dioxins, that this is one in terms of dioxins in tampons and water bottle, right? So we say, hey, is it detrimental for reproduction? You know, this is one where, like, when I'm pregnant, I always get weird. Like, I want to know my source of food. This is such a time where the body, throughout inception to the first, you know, couple years in life, is the biggest growth a body will ever have. And it sets the stage where it's like a decision that I have made previously. This is where preconception is really important, right? Like, if you're thinking about conceiving, preconception and making those decisions before you have kids is so important to make sure that your body is prepped and prepared. But then too, you know, like through that conception process, you know, exposure, like what I was exposed to in pregnancy could affect whether or not my sons can have children in, you know, 15, 18, 20 years, right? Like, That's crazy. That's absolutely like mind-blowing that a chemical that you're exposed to today while pregnant can affect the fertility of your children. But what they have concerns about is that dioxins are actually present in women's sanitary products, including tampons. So before the late 1900s, chlorine was used for bleaching and tampon production, and dioxin levels were higher. Chlorine bleach is no longer used, though they are still bleaching those tampons. So the FDA notes that while traces of dioxins exist in tampons, that it's a small percentage of its recommended maximum intake of dioxins for the month. Hey, no worries. Just a small percentage of your dioxins for the month. But then you do it every month, multiple times. And you put it in a very vulnerable spot, right? Like, they also have been claimed that plastic water bottles contain dioxins, though some may say that it's not true, though they do warn about BPA and phthalates, which are also, we'll talk more about, hormone and endocrine disruptors. So you think about, okay, so what can you do? One, be cognizant of where your meat is coming from, right? Like, where the sources of food is coming from. I always question if, you know, a source of meat is being produced in another country, and even the ones here are questionable. But then too, you can actually get feminine hygiene products that are unbleached. They're organic, right? Like, who would have thunk growing up as a kid? I never thought about that until I got into the more holistic world. But then again, choosing things like, you know, glass or stainless steel, especially for my kids. I know that they're little. I know that they're more vulnerable when it comes to these toxins, especially because it does take so long for the body to try to, like, the half life on them is so long. So we use glass or stainless steel in terms of water bottles, right? So they're just small things that you can make. Be cognizant of your meat choice. Change to organic feminine products. But then too, looking at changing your source of water bottles, which we'll talk a bit more about as well. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. I'm going to touch quickly on BPAs. So, BPAs. So, BPAs actually mimic hormones. It mimics the sex hormone estrogen in your body. So what happens is the synthetic hormone actually tricks your body into thinking it's the real thing. So BPA has been linked to everything from breast cancer or other cancers to reproductive problems, obesity, right? So think about this. When we say, oh, like I can't lose weight. I'm obese and I'm having these problems. And, you know, it's hormone related. And it's like, okay, could it be from something like BPA? Early puberty, heart disease. According to the government test, 93% of Americans have BPA in their body, which is huge. What's interesting is that several years back, the FDA realized that maybe BPA isn't as safe. And so this is where you will find all of the BPA-free, right? BPA-free. So what they did is they said, okay, we know that BPA has long-lasting effects, transgenerational, so my children's children, prenatal exposure to mice correlated with raised levels of anxiety, aggression, and cognitive difficulties. So they said, we should probably not let people consume this knowingly, right? So cut it out. And they said, well, we've got to put something in there. So there came BPS. So in 2005, Japanese scientists compared the hormone mimicking effects of BPA and 19 similar compounds, including BPS, on human cells. Although they found BPS effect to be slightly weaker than BPA, new research shows that it may be absorbing more BPS through our skin than we were absorbing BPA. So, obviously looking at, again, glass water bottles, stainless steel, right? 'Cause, you know, again, I have little kids, so I'm not going to be handing them glass. So we do stainless steel water bottles. But here's what's really interesting. Do you want to know where they found the highest amount? The people who handled this have the highest amount of BPS in their system. And it's people who handle thermal paper in their jobs. Right? So they found all receipt paper contains BPS. I actually remember thinking that this was crazy. One of my mentors in 2010, his name was Dr. Charlie Majors, got diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. They gave him 2 weeks to live, said chemotherapy and radiation would likely just buy him time, but not enough to even make it worth it. So they said, they sent him home to die. He said, you don't get to choose when I go. The big man upstairs does. And so he started doing all natural therapies and did tons of studies. I mean, I handed off dozens of cancer consults to him. Lived another 7 years, had his fourth child. 7 years, 2 weeks to 7 years. But anyways, he was talking about one of the most toxic things you can ever touch is receipt paper. And I'm like, what? Like, how is that even a thing, right? But they're finding that, again, all receipt paper contains BPS. And they found people who handled thermal paper in their jobs were absorbing more, 19 times more. 19 times. So you think about something as like, I mean, you work in retail and you're constantly touching and handing receipts. Like, so if you are if you have to touch thermal paper, like I usually, you know, if I need it for work, then fine. But for my personal use, I don't really save a lot of my receipts. You know, like, I just don't. Maybe you guys are going to call and yell at me, taxes. But, you know, for a business standpoint, I do. But for a personal, I really don't. So typically I just tell them, I say, no, I'm good. I don't need it. You can keep it. I don't need a receipt. Wash your hands after you touch it. You can, I would try to avoid putting it next to your food, because then not only are you touching it, right, you're throwing it in the bag when you get it from the grocery store, say, like, then it goes into your food and you can't rinse that off. So, and if you're a cashier, this is really big, 19 times more. See if you can invest in gloves so you can have a protective layer. So that's just one, like, who would have thunk the most... BPA is one. We don't talk about BPS, but even with that BPS, looking at what it does from our hormonal system, receipt paper is one of the most toxic. So when we come back, we're going to talk about more hormone disrupting chemicals. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Now, let's talk a little bit, continuing on, about endocrine disruptors, also known as hormone-altering chemicals. Now, let me ask you this. Are you drinking rocket fuel? And the average person would probably say, no, I'm not. I drink tap water. I drink bottled water. This is a huge deal when we talk about, like, you need to drink 100 ounces of water a day. Right? We'll just talk average individual, give or take. If you drink 100 ounces of water a day, what type of water are you drinking, and what is the massive amount of chemicals that you're putting in your body? Perchlorate. So perchlorate is a component of rocket fuel and contaminates much of our produce and milk, according to the Environmental Working Group and government-tested data. So what happens is when perchlorate gets into your body, it competes with the nutrient iodine. Iodine is what the thyroid gland needs to make thyroid hormones. So basically this means if you ingest too much perchlorate, then you end up altering your thyroid hormone balance. Guys, can we just talk? If you or someone you know have a thyroid condition, know that it, not always, I'm not going to speak in terms of absolutes, but it is oftentimes the thyroid problem is a secondary, not a primary. But unfortunately, doctors don't know how to address it other than that. So it's, you know, why are my thyroid hormones off? Well, I don't know. Here are some pills, right? So it's important because these hormones that regulate your metabolism as an adult, they're critical for proper brain and organ development in infants and young children. So where is it coming from, right? Perchlorate, because we say, like, I'm not really drinking rocket fuel. But the problem is that it started originally in nitrate fertilizer. It is found in a lot of rocket propellant, explosives, fireworks, road flares. And we don't think about that being used so much, but the problem is that it is an incredibly hard chemical to get rid of. And so what they're finding more and more is that through this course of time, that it's increasing in our food and our water. And so especially in terms of water, they're talking about, you know, what's the EPA doing regarding public drinking water? And the answer, quite candidly, is not really anything. So in 2017, September 2017, the EPA released a draft scientific report that talked about proposed approach to informed the maximum contaminant level goals for perchlorate in drinking water. And the EPA still is currently soliciting input on its approach for deriving an approach to lessen or get rid of this in the drinking water. But they're finding more than not, it's coming from your drinking water. So what you drink is important, just like we talk about what you put on your skin is important. What you put in your body and on your body is always important to a cellular level. This is another one that is stored, but is huge, right? If it inhibits your body, which the average person is really not getting enough iodine to begin with, but iodine's necessary for baby's normal brain development. It's important for pregnant and nursing moms to get adequate amount of iodine. For infants, breast milk, you know, mom can't, if you're breastfeeding your child, if you don't have enough, kid's not going to get enough. So what can you do? What can you do? So tap water is regulated by the EPA under the Safe Drinking Water Act, but they've actually issued an interim health advisory to assist state and local officials in addressing local contamination of drinking waters from perchlorate. Right. So here's what we do is that we do reverse osmosis. Yes, there's, you know, countertop ones you can get, which truthfully I found don't even the Berkey doesn't filter out chloride. Right. We can argue it, whatever. But like the ones that you put in your fridge, typically all of those aren't going to have the ability to filter this out. Reverse osmosis filters out everything. So the catch 22 of that is they say, hey, it filters out all of your trace minerals, which is true. So I have to add those back in. But it's a step that I would rather know that the water that myself and my kiddos are drinking have 100% nothing in it and have to go through kind of that, you know, because every year you're going to change the filter. It's an extra step. But in reality, it's really not that hard. The hardest was getting it installed and I had someone else do it for me. But knowing that, you know, I walk around with my water bottles that I have filled up with my stainless steel water bottles that I have filled up with reverse osmosis water. That's important to me, right? That's so important to me, especially when it talks about balancing hormones. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. This is Dr. Leanne Schluter. Another one that we can talk about are flame retardants. Now, there is a great documentary that came out a couple years back. HBO put it out. So you can probably, I mean, it's been like several years. So I don't know if you can even find it just if you search for it on the internet, if you look on HBO, but it's called Toxic Hot Seat. Toxic Hot Seat. And it is a documentary that talks about dangerous chemical flame retardants and how they're embedded into our home furniture. So home furniture, mattresses, couches, not to mention baby strollers, baby car seats, baby mattresses, right? That candidly do a better job at causing birth defects and cancer than it really will from protecting us against a fire. When you look at the flame retardants, they actually were found to leave chemical residue in children's urine in the 1970s. And then since then have been taken out of children's pajamas. But then, you know, in 1975, they... there was a law enacted to reduce cigarette instigated house fires. So it required all fabrics sold in the state of California to contain fire retardants. And so it is very, very common. And that's why you look at, if you look at firefighters, the rate of breast cancer in female firefighters is 6 times higher than the national average. I mean, if you are a firefighter or know someone who's a firefighter, you know that their rate of cancer of firefighters go up exponentially. Why? Because it's burning these chemicals and they're breathing them in. Even with masks, right? The things still get through. But when you're looking at furnishing toys, kids' toys, I mean, it is literally everywhere. And again, when we look at the problem that comes with these flame retardants, is that they can imitate thyroid hormones in our bodies. And because of that, they disrupt their activity. They found that it leads to a lower IQ, substantial health effects, right? So what can you do? Flame retardants. One for kiddos, you know, the mattress that we got when, because we've had it for both kids, we made sure that we got an organic mattress. Same thing with us as adults. Like, we get organic mattress. You can actually ask them now to not spray it with flame retardant. You know, we literally have smoke detectors all along our house that we check multiple times a year. And I truthfully believe that that will save me from a fire before chemicals on the mattress. And the off-gassing that you have breathing in those chemicals for years, you know, 6 to 8 hours a night for years afterwards, that's crazy. You can also get a vacuum cleaner that uses a HEPA air filter. So at least it can cut down on some of the toxic dust. I would say avoid reupholstering foam furniture. And here's another really big one, is that when you replace your old carpet, be aware because the padding underneath can actually contain different types of flame and fire retardants, right? So then you're walking on it, you're breathing it in, new couches, right? Those are ones when you get new furniture, make sure that you ask, hey, I need to have this not sprayed with flame retardant. That's why too, when you get this new furniture, you say, oh my goodness, this smell, right? And if you haven't been around a lot of chemicals, it's very pungent, it's very toxic. And the last one that we'll talk about is mercury. So we oftentimes know that mercury comes in fish, right? Mercury is naturally occurring, but is a toxic metal. It gets into the air and the oceans primarily through burning coal, though eventually can end up on your plate in the form of mercury-containing seafood. So think about this. I talk oftentimes about like pregnant women, and the reason being is because pregnant women have a developing embryo or fetus. They have a developing baby inside of them, which on a daily basis are doubling, tripling, quadrupling cells, right? It is the fastest growing process that ever happens in the human body. And so because of that, the toxic effects on those smaller, on those cells become more detrimental because there's less cells. So when you add greater toxins to less cells versus we say, hey, you can have all the mercury you want as an adult. It doesn't have an effect on you. It does, but you're not going to see it in terms of development of limbs or brain, right? But still has that effect in terms of how it affects your organs and your brain. Pregnant women are just the most at risk. Since metal is known to concentrate in the fetal brain and can interfere with brain development. So mercury is also known to bind directly to one of the particular hormones that regulates women's menstrual cycle and ovulation, interfering with normal signaling pathways, right? So we say, again, we have this odd menstrual cycle and we can't figure out why it's off. Why are our thyroids not working? And then we say, oh, definitely can't be the fact that you have mercury toxicity load. Definitely not. Right? Come on, guys. You have to start thinking outside of the box. This is, and why, again, and thinking, why is this outside of the box to think that, hey, mercury can play in terms of what mimics hormones in the body? You have to look at these things outside of just what we've been taught about. Hey, you just have, if your cycles are abnormal, here's hormone-related birth control. Right? Like, come on. So again, when we look at the mercury too, mercury actually can play a role in diabetes, since mercury has been shown to damage cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. So it's what is needed and is critical for the body's ability to metabolize sugar. So what can we do, right? So making sure you have wild-caught sustainable seafood sources, lots of healthy fats. You know, tuna is really high, so I typically stay away from tuna, a lot of the higher mercury level fish. The other thing too is if you have amalgam fillings, right? Do your research. I don't have enough time to talk about it today. You can look back at other podcasts, but amalgam fillings have a higher. And then too, when you have any sort of vaccine that has thimerosal, that's mercury containing as well. So just some heads up, some food for thought, have your ability. And then too, knowing, finding a practitioner on how to help you detox from these things. One, you know, how do you test? But more importantly, how do you detox from these? And that's such an important component when it comes, is finding someone who can be alongside of your health journey. And that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always reach out at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to next week. But always remember that your power is on.